Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
I'm so glad I know the peace speaker and I know him by name. Beautiful music there. And it's time for us to get into our deep dive. We're speaking about biblical wisdom for modern day challenges. And we're joined once again by Elder Dennis Chisenga. My Elder, good morning and welcome back to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Good morning to you and thank you for tuning me in.
Absolutely. Now, in today's world, we know that truth is often treated as subjective, shaped by personal feelings or opinions. The Bible, however, presents truth as absolute and unchanging. And this thought-provoking topic delves into how Christians can uphold biblical truth in a culture that increasingly embraces relativism. So there's my truth, there's your truth, depends on one's perspective. But how is it, my elder, that the Bible defines truth? And how is it different from modern relativism?
As we are exploring this concept of truth, we must always recall that the Bible presents truth as absolute and truth as unchanging. So if we come to how the Bible defines truth, we find that the Bible defines truth as that which is corresponds to reality, mm-hmm. and as revealed in God's word. When we come to John 17, verse 17, the Bible says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So from here, we are being reminded that God's word is the ultimate standard of truth. And when you check in the Old Testament, you find Psalms 119, verse 160, where the Bible says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." So we find that the truth as presented in Scripture is timeless in its nature. It does not change. Mm. It is forever. It's not like yesterday it was right, today it's wrong, yes. Tomorrow it's something else. No. It's just like that. Mm. But in contrast, today's modern relativism, actually suggests that truth is subjective and relative to someone's perspective. Mm. So today's modern relativism suggests that it does not matter what you say. What matters is what I think is right. So you may now ask, who is wrong? If exactly. you think you are right,
exactly.
I also think I'm right. Who is wrong then? So we can only go to the Bible, because the Bible has proven to be stand for a test of time. So we can trust the word of God that it will indeed guide us, because in the end, we will remain as people who just honor God by our mouth and our lips, but our hearts are far away from God.
Yeah.
And our worship then will be but in vain. So I think the Bible is the only standard of truth, because the Bible has proved to be unchanging and the Bible has stood the test of time.
Mm.
And our truths today, my concepts, my ideas may change after some time, but the word of God will still remain the same. Sure.
Beautiful. But my issue with that now is that the Bible has been used by many different people throughout the ages to enforce different things. And as time goes on, we use the same Bible to dismantle those same things. So let's talk about things like colonialism or slavery or subjugation mm-hmm. of women and things like that. People used the Bible to enforce those things. They claimed that that's what the Bible taught. And then we also mm-hmm. use that same Bible to say that, no, we're all free. We're all created equal. And, we're all of equal value in the eyes of God. So can we still say that the Bible does not change? The Bible's the truth in the Bible is the absolute truth, even though that same Bible is used by people from different thoughts, different schools of thought with regards to human interaction.
Sure, actually, if we look at how these who defend even something which is wrong, but they use the scripture, it's the issue of approaching the word of God with your own preconceived ideas as you study.
Mm.
It's by trying to fuse your ideas into the Bible. But as we know in Isaiah 28, verse 8, all the way to 10, that the Bible interprets itself here a little, there a little. So when we have our own interpretation of scripture mm-hmm. is what leads men to misunderstand and abuse scripture, not just having the right approach as we study the word of God. So if we just study the way it is, in its truth, in its purity, without any conceived ideas,
yeah.
without any hidden agendas, the Bible reveals itself not to be a biased truth, and it's a truth which is standing, and it's equal. It does not sideline anyone. So it is absolute truth. It is absolute.
Love that. Now, what challenges do Christians face when sharing biblical truth in today's world, where, as you said, it's all about my perspective, my own interpretation, my own understanding? What are some of the challenges that Christians face when we share the truth?
Actually, because we are sharing the truth, and we know that we live in a world where there's a great controversy raging, so we cannot say, well, we'll just preach the word and people will accept it the way it is. Moreover, Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, meaning God requires us to think. You know, we grew up with an idea that you cannot question God. You cannot, as in, ask, why is this happening and like that.
Yes.
But that's not what God actually brings. Moreover, cognitive psychology suggests that if you question something, you'll be able to understand it even better when your question is even solved and answered. So some of the challenges which we are going to face as we minister, or as we share the word of God as ambassadors of Christ, is number one, hostility and rejection. Many people may reject, even they become hostile as they respond to the biblical truth. Some, I've seen some even fighting, as in they just come and say, what you're saying is rubbish, and they'll even slap you. So you need really to be aware of such that you face hostility. Second Timothy 3 verse 12, we are told, rather, in John 15, verse 18, we are told that if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. So that's it. We will be hated for the truth, and people will be hostile. The second thing, the second challenge which you face is culture and the societal pressures. Christians, as we are, we will face pressure to conform to culture. But as we earlier discussed, I just forgot the day during this week, there was a topic where one of the guests, you were discussing about culture, and we discovered from there that actually the culture which we must have is the culture of Christ, which is Christianity. That's our culture. So now when we try to present a different culture, it's more like people wouldn't want to blend into that culture of Christianity. So we'll face that one. And the norms of society actually contradict with what the Bible says and what culture is all about. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 verse 2 actually said, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. And this is what is very hard for people, to renew their mind from their own perspective of ideas, the pressures of society. Then the last thing, the last challenge you face is misconceptions and misunderstandings. And this is where now people begin to say, especially like, for example, you're preaching about the Sabbath. People will say, no, we've been worshiping on this day. How come you're bringing? So there's misconceptions. And actually, like here in Zambia, people think if you are a Seventh-day Adventist, then you should be Tonga, because that's the region where most of the church developed from. So there's that misconception of truth being related to a certain culture, a certain group of people, and all that. But no. We are told in Jeremiah 4, verse 22, that my people are fools. They do not know me. They are senseless children. They have no understanding. So we are people who do not have understanding, which is absolute, except God is with us. So this is one of the things which you'll find as we preach the word of God. So we must be ready and approach these and other challenges with compassion and with understanding that this is what they have. So we need really wisdom, love, and compassion as we share the word of God.
Yeah, love that. Now, that was interesting what you said about the fact that if you're Seventh-day Adventist, you must be Tonga. When you talk about the challenges that people face, Christians face when they try and preach biblical truth, I remember watching one where someone was preaching against the Sabbath. And a Seventh-day Adventist came and started trying to reason with him and speak to him. And then it became a very aggressive, verbally aggressive confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And this man, the one who was speaking against the Sabbath, had this microphone type of thing, and he was shouting into it to the whole street that this one is one of those ones who worship Ellen White. And it was such a mess, and everyone on the street is now stopping and staring. It became a huge spectacle, and I thought, oh shame. And he was just trying to share some truths, light to what this guy was saying. And you know, you'd expect,
true,
I think sometimes we expect that God will intervene in those moments. God won't allow me to be, you know, humiliated in that way, because now this man couldn't even explain that. No, we don't even believe that. We don't worship Ellen White. It's too late. This one has a microphone. He's shouting. The whole street can hear him. No one can hear you. Mm. Now you are in defense mode. It was unfortunate. It was sad. It was painful to see. But those are some of the challenges that we're talking about when you're trying to share the truth. Or they think that because you believe in the Sabbath, so you think because you go to church on a Saturday, that means you're going to heaven and everyone else is going to hell.
Heaven, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that. So how can believers stand firm in our faith without alienating other people? How do we do that? Because sometimes it's easy to do that because, like you're saying, sometimes it's like when you're explaining a certain truth, but I've been living in this quote-unquote truth all my life. Like, to follow on with the same example you've been using, I've been going to church faithfully every Sunday. Are you saying that, you know, I'm wrong and my father was wrong and my grandparents, all the people who raised me, and I must just follow you, just believe you? How do we stand firm in the truth without alienating other people?
Sure. Actually, the scenario which you brought earlier is very interesting and fascinating. And this is one of the challenges I think we face as people who we have the truth as revealed in Scripture.
Mm.
Some of us, we think we should be hostile in our defense, and we cannot leave room for anyone to speak anything.
Yeah.
And somehow, some of us, we think as if we are lawyers of God who are going there to defend God.
Him.
God can defend himself. He can defend himself. He does not need us to defend him. What we are called is to preach the truth as God has shown us in our lives. We are the very gospels. No wonder Shower Power from Zimbabwe, they sang a very good song that we are the sermon in the shoes. We are the sermon in the shoes. So there's no need of arguing. Before I can just give out how we can defend the truth without alienating others, it reminds me, there was a time when on social media somebody posted like, if Enoch, when there was no Holy Spirit, would live a righteous life, what more of us who have the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. So I was trying to correct that misconception to say, no, actually the Holy Spirit has been there from eternity. Yes. And actually we argued out, we were debating online on Facebook. We started around 19 hours and we finished around 03 hours.
Yeah.
The whole night. Then I was like, hey, who can really defend something? And we ended up admitting, even after submitting Scripture. So what we need to do as we defend and as we preach the gospel, we need to speak the truth in love, as Jesus did.
Mm.
When you see Jesus and how he used to respond, you may be wondering how we respond ourselves when people ask us questions or we enter into sort of a debate. Just go to Christ and see how he used to defend the truth. Mm. I never saw where Christ begins to argue with people, exchanging words, becoming angry, verbal, over the word of God. No. So let's share biblical truth with love, with compassion, and with kindness. Ephesians 4 verse 15 says, speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ.
Mm.
Because if we do not share the truth with love, even if somebody is wrong, but how you correct them, you correct them with love. You correct them with the mind that actually, I do not know everything, but this is what I know. And somehow, let us reason together. Like the way the Bible says, come now, let us reason together over these things which we seem to be opposite to each other. Number two, again, how we can share the gospel, remain firm on our faith without overshadowing others, is by listening and understanding. You know, some people just require little help for them to understand something which they have misunderstood. But if we don't take time to listen and understand, we even enter into unnecessary discussions and we end up frustrating one another. And at the end, we even become enemies. So we must listen to other people's perspective, and we must seek to understand their concerns and their questions. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, the Bible says, "Fools find no understanding, but delight in airing out their own opinion." So meaning that if we do not find time to understand what somebody is saying, then we and the fool are just the same, because we just want to air out our own opinion. So we must listen more and speak less. And finally, the last thing, which is the most important thing, is praying for wisdom and guidance as we share this word. So when we pray for wisdom and guidance, the Bible tells us that if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously. So when we have the wisdom, we will spread the word of God with understanding, with love, and with compassion, and we'll be able to be a people who people we've even come to and say, I think that one, I can learn something from them. He's just all right. He's not attacking me. He's just speaking the truth as it is, and I can learn from him. And that's how we can win souls to Christ. I always tell people, you can never win you can never convince somebody of the truth with arguments. Because if I'm arguing, no matter what you say, I'll defend myself. And in the end, somebody may just say, okay, keep that truth to yourself. I also keep what I know to myself, and let's just go our way.
Let's wrap it up with just a point on how Christians can navigate discussions about especially controversial topics while still honoring God. We talked about the Sabbath, you know, how the Bible views women, and, you know, there are different controversial subjects in the Bible, the many investigative judgment, so many things that we, especially as Seventh-day Adventists, believe in that can be seen as controversial. How do we navigate those conversations while still honoring God?
Number one, we can soften our hearts and minds as we approach these controversial topics, because there's a temptation of you wanting to be aggressive and persuasive, but we can soften our hearts and our minds, because love is the only thing. When we embrace love, it will enable us to soften our hearts and minds so that we can be able to spread the gospel to people who do not understand about what we are spreading. Then, like we earlier mentioned, listening and understanding also, it's very important. You let the person speak, and you ask. In fact, you do more like what they do in a counseling session, where you come with a problem and they will be asking you questions. You'll be the same one who will be coming out with answers.
Yes.
So we can try the question mood of a conversation. You ask somebody, okay, but if you are saying this, look at this verse. Well, what do you think this is saying, and what you are saying? Do you think I'm lying? And always use the Bible as the standard. Never put opinions or your own ideas in discussing controversial topic. And if at all somebody does not want to be convinced, somebody just remains staunch with whatsoever they know, do not feel disheartened. Do not feel disheartened. Do your work. Continue to share the word with them and pray for them, and go your way. And if another opportune time comes, share with them. The reason is simple. When you read Matthew 24, verse 14, the Bible says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for a witness, then the end shall come." So to some people, the word will just be a witness, be just a confirmation to them that you were preached to, but you were stubborn, you did not want to change. So we must not get worried if, when we share the truth with compassion, with understanding, and all these things which we have with wisdom, and somebody just decides not to listen, we must not get worried, but continue to pray for them, because they also must be a candidate of heaven. Sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much, my elder. Beautiful conversation. We will get back to it as we continue tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy the rest of your day.
No, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.